That's part two. There's five parts, so I'll keep playing them. But she really goes into some great stuff that is, and really one of the reasons I'm showing this, there's so many great people online and stuff who on YouTube who've been delivered. I mean, one guy she talks about in her books. I've got all her books. Who had a gender change. A man, he was born man, changed to a woman, and then he changed back. Now he's a man. When you see him on his videos, he's a man, but he's an advocate for not allowing these sexual changes to happen to kids. And he explains how when he was five, his mom said, you know, you're so cute, you could look like a girl, and she put a dress on him. She put a dress on him, and he grew up always not wanting to be a boy, and had the surgery. And now he's working to help them, you know, because there's some movie star. I saw this on Twitter like this week or last week, and she's very, very famous. But her son in the bathtub said, "Mommy, I think I'm a girl." Five or six years old, and she said, "Well, you get to be a girl." Yeah. Yo, who is that? Do you remember the name? It's somebody really famous, and you know, so he's trying to advocate against, and there's a law that says you can't give them counseling against that. Right. And like California and certain states, they can't, you can't have, who is it? Okay, he ain't gonna say all that, but there is some crazy, crazy stuff like that. And, but just great stuff. All right, but you see, Kenneth Copeland endorses her, a bunch of Terry Pearson, a bunch of great, great ministers love this woman, and I love her too, and Andrew is hilarious with her anyway. But anyway, all right, y'all got your Bible? I think one of the greatest things that I'm really embracing out of what she's saying is how the church loved her and embraced her right where she was and showed her the love of Christ, wasn't condemning, but wasn't condoning. You know, that's the key. Not condemning, but not condoning. And not compromising the scriptures, but loving. Amen? And so that's something that we have to learn because it's so prevalent in our society. I wanted tonight, last week I showed you like the origins, and I put my notes online because I hadn't made notes last week. If you wanted to know those scriptures and that stuff we talked about last week, it is online now. But I want to show you something amazing in the scriptures. I've often been asked by people, well, did Jesus ever deal with homosexuality? Did he ever come across people like that? Because you don't see it in the word homosexuality, but he did. Right. He did on four specific occasions that's listed here. So let me just show you that. Y'all got your Bible? Yeah. Grab your Bible. Did I already do the faith confession? I did all that, right? Yeah. I did or didn't? Yeah. Some say I did. I can't even remember either. So we did. Okay, good. All right. Turn over in your Bible to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, I showed you last week, and for several services I've been showing you this text in the New Living Translation. Romans chapter 1 is a passage where Paul, in the opening chapter of Romans, when he's talking about the gospel, talks about how every human being knows right from wrong on the inside, that God has made it apparent to them through nature. He's made it known in their hearts. And this sort of thing. And then he says, but because they refuse to embrace the knowledge of God, didn't recognize him as God, he gave them over to a reprobate mind. You remember the passage? It's all right here. It starts in verse 18. But I want to show you something here because he gives definition to what happens to their mind. And we've talked about this, but watch this. Starting here in New King James Version, Romans chapter 1, look at verse 24. I'm going to read to 27. Therefore, God gave them up to uncleanness. Circle uncleanness. That's the word I want y'all to see here. If you've got your Bible open, circle uncleanness. In the lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged. Now he gives definition to this uncleanness. That's what he's talking about here. God gave them up to what? To uncleanness. And that's what these verses talk about. Watch what he says. Who exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the creator, who is blessed forever. Amen, right? Next. For this reason, God gave them up to vile passions. For even their women exchanged the natural use for what is against nature, lesbianism. Likewise, also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts for one another, men with men, committing what is shameful and receiving in themselves the penalty of their error, which was due. Okay, how many of y'all remember reading this scripture? How many, by the way, how many of y'all were here Sunday? Good. If you were not here, let me say this real strong. If you're missing any service that I'm talking about this, you're missing a whole catalog of truth. Right. You're missing something. You're missing something. That's why we put it online. But I urge you, I compel you, because there's the what I shared on Sunday was just letting believers know why most believers are stuck in life, why they're broke, why they can't get going, and it's all in Revelation talking about this, sexual immorality. And so you need that. You need that. I mean, you need that if you want to get ahead. If you don't, whatever. But there's a reason if you're stuck, and this may be it. Are y'all listening to me? Say amen right there. Amen. I know I'm strong and passionate about that, but I see so many believers stuck in this. This life is so good, you got to do something crazy not to get it good. Right. Something's wrong, and you just have to face it and deal with it, all right? Okay, so you see here, did y'all see in verse 24? Here he's talking about what he calls uncleanness. Did y'all see that? Okay. And he describes this uncleanness as men being with men. Homosexuality and lesbianism is what he's talking about. He calls it uncleanness. Did y'all see that? God turned them over to uncleanness. All right. Look over. It's in Galatians chapter 5. It's in Ephesians, the same word, but it's in the same context here as well. When he begins to list, Paul in Galatians chapter 5 begins to list the works of the flesh. And he lists the fruit of the Spirit in the same chapter. But he says, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are what? Adultery, right? What is adultery? Adultery is if you're married and you're having sex with someone who isn't your spouse. That's called adultery. Always listed number one because it's deadly. It's deadly. And if you're a believer and you're caught up in adultery, that's what's killing you. Okay? Number two. Fornication. Fornication is what? It's the whole category of sexual sin. Anything that's outside of the framework or the scope of what God framed sex to be. Sex is to exclusively be in the context of marriage between a husband and wife. Everybody knows that? Amen. It's all in Genesis chapter 2. And he framed it up that way. And anything outside of that framework, again, I talked about that on Sunday as well. Amen. So I'm not going to revisit that. All right. So fornication, that includes all of it. That's everything. That includes adultery as well. But adultery more specifically is just for someone who is married, but having sex outside of that marriage covenant. Fornication. And here's this word, uncleanness. Uncleanness. And in some translations, it's translated homosexuality. All right. So there it is again. He listed number three. And the fourth one being lewdness. Sometimes in some translations, that word is lasciviousness. And that just simply means no restraint. No restraint. And oftentimes it's right with uncleanness because that's what it is. It's sexual unrestraint. But it's also really what lewdness, lasciviousness is unrestraint in any kind of area. Unrestraint in food. Gluttony. And really what is the dividing line in that is if you don't control it. The Bible doesn't say thou shalt not smoke, but why is smoking a problem? Why is it a sin? Because you can't control it. It kills you. It hurts your body, and it controls you. When food controls you, it's a problem. When sex controls you, it's a problem. Even in marriage. Are you with me? That's what the Bible calls lasciviousness, lewdness. Oh, I don't have to do that. Well, then why are you doing it? Are you with me? Okay, so I want you to see that uncleanness here. And just for time's sake, I didn't want to go through all the verses, but it's there. But turn to Ephesians. I'm going to go over it one more. I forgot I had this one. Are y'all with me? Now, y'all, why are we talking about this? Because there's so many believers caught up in foolishness. And Paul dealt with this strongly. If Paul came to church or Jesus came to church, nobody could handle them. Church is so watered down now. Paul came in ripping stuff up. Jesus went in the temple ripping stuff up. They didn't tolerate stuff like that. Are you with me? All right. Be there. Here I am in Ephesians 1, New King James. Therefore, be imitators of God as dear children, right? And walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor, right? But fornication and what? There's that word again. I just want y'all to see that this is all through the New Testament. Right. All right. Fornication and all uncleanness. Again, Paul gave definition to it in Romans 1. He said it's homosexuality. So sometimes you'll see fornication is the whole category of sexual sin. But then sometimes he'll say adultery and fornication. But just outlining separate things. Uncleanness, we know that's talking about homosexuality. Other things as well, but that's primarily what he's talking about. Or covetousness, all right? Lusting after something that's not yours. Let it not even be what? Named among you as is fitting for saints. He said, this should not even be named among you. This should not be in your flock, should not be in your lifestyle, should not be a part of. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting. He's talking about dirty jokes and nasty comedy, that kind of stuff. All right, which are not fitting, but rather giving thanks. He said, you should be giving thanks. For this you know, that no fornicator, here's this word again, unclean person, what is he saying? Homosexual person, right? Nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Stop right there. Leave this up here. Now, this is some of the strongest language in the New Testament. Galatians, you'll see this kind of language as well. Corinthians as well. You see it in the epistles. Paul was just dealt with this stuff. And he said, listen, if you're a fornicator or a homosexual person, unclean person, nor covetous, he said, you're not going to inherit the kingdom of God. Now, first of all, we know if you are, when the Bible says fornicator, that means that is your lifestyle. He's not talking about a person who has missed it. All of us will miss it in life. Come on, believer. All of us are going to miss it. But when it becomes your normal, I'm married and I'm going to have sex with this person who's not my spouse. You are now classified as a fornicator. This is your lifestyle now. You missed it. You something went wrong and you had some same-sex relationship and you did something stupid, right? And you didn't, you know, you regret it. You did something stupid. You're not a homosexual. You just did, you missed it. But now when you said, this is my life, this is who I am, that's who he's talking to right here. And this is in Ephesians, and he's talking to believers as well as unbelievers. Believers who miss it on occasion, we're all going to miss it. But when you've made the decision as a believer to say, I'm going to live this lifestyle, this is what this girl did. She slipped into this lifestyle and said, this is it. God is saying, this is a dangerous thing. You're going to lose your inheritance. And what is the Bible talking about there? It's talking about your life. You're going to miss out just like her. Just like her. There's another young girl, and I've asked the high schoolers to show this video. It's a young girl. She's a rapper. She's going around. She's 29 or 20 or 30 now, but she's rapping. What's her name? Whatever it is. But I put him on the spot there. But she's speaking at all these major conferences, black girl, and lived a Levisman lifestyle and has a bunch of music out. And she's real, you know, in the Christian circles, real cool. But anyway, she's married now and has a little girl. And I wanted to show the video, and I may show it on Sunday. It's a short, say her name. Jackie Hill Perry. Very cool. And I was listening to some of her music this week. But she sings and plays, and she's really cool. But young girl, and now she's gotten married and has a little girl, and she gives her testimony. She's crying, going like, this would have never happened for me. This would have never happened. She's holding her girl. She just had a second baby and just said, this is never. And that's what he's talking about. You're going to lose out on the stuff that God has for you. Come on, somebody. Come on, how many of y'all want what God has for you? It's so much better than what we could come up with on our own. Amen. That's what he's talking about here. Are y'all with me? All right, go to the next one. Let no one deceive you with empty words. Don't let anybody talk you into this. A lot of the problems happen when people hear grace. They think, oh, I can just do whatever I want. I'm under grace. That's a misnomer. That is the doctrine of Nickelodeon or whatever it is. And it's talked about often in the Bible and the New Testament as well. We covered that one of those weeks. Not Nickelodeon. Maybe that is. Shoot. Trey's agent told him, don't sign any contracts with Disney. They wanted him for somebody who didn't, thank God. Let no one deceive you with empty words because of these things, the rap, because of these things, what things? That I doubt all the fornication, homosexual, all that stuff. The wrath of God comes on the sons of what?
Disobedient.
Not the sons of the of God, but sons of disobedience. Do y'all hear that? You don't want to be classified as that. Amen? Amen. Come on, somebody, lift up your hands. Throw your hands up. Just give God a praise. We don't want to be classified in that area as a son of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. You all get the severity of this? All right, so that uncleanness, he gives a definition as homosexuality and other things. Let's look at what Jesus did, and he speaks in the New Testament, in the Gospels. You're going to see a few different spirits that Jesus dealt with. Spirit of infirmity. Have you heard of that? Always associated with sickness. Deaf and dumbness. Deaf and dumb spirit. You'll see him talk about that. And then you'll see this one. You'll see it four times. Jesus dealing with it. Unclean spirit. What is he talking about? Homosexual and lesbian. Let's look at them. Let's look at them. Come on. You're going to be blown away by this. Are y'all ready? First of all, turn over to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 1. All right. Now, again, the goal here isn't condemnation. It's a reality. It's a truth. And you're going to see the truth of who this spirit is coming after. Are y'all with me? Watch this, y'all. Y'all know this. From Matthew chapter 10, this is when Jesus is commissioning his 12. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over what? Unclean spirits. Mm-hmm. And that's, again, the spirit behind the sexual perversion. By the way, on Sunday, y'all remember when I told you about Revelation chapter 18 and Revelation chapter 17? Look at the spirit that was released. I'm keeping my finger here. But look over at Revelation chapter 18, verse 3, just real quickly so you can see. We talked about this when it talked, verse 2, Revelation 18, verse 2. Well, I'll read one. After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon, that means that's that governmental system we talked about. Babylon is fallen, and has become a dwelling place for demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every what?
Unclean.
He says, this system will house every unclean spirit. Come on, somebody. I just want you to see the continuity between this terminology. Okay, watch how Jesus dealt with it. Okay, go back over to wherever it was. All right, y'all saw that one? Now, go on over in your Bible to Matthew chapter 12. Chapter 12, verse 43 through 45. This ain't going to take me long, y'all. Just tighten your seatbelt right here because you're going to be blown away at this. You're going to be blown away at this. Watch what Jesus says here. He said, he could have said when a spirit of infirmity, but watch what he says. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places. That spirit goes through dry places, seeking rest and finds none. So what he's saying here, this homosexual sex, this spirit behind this spirit of homosexuality and sexual immorality is a spirit of unrest. It's looking for someone. When it's cast out of someone, the Spirit says this, then I will return to my house. What house is he talking about? The body, the person he left. He takes claim on it. This is two times in the Bible. This is in Matthew and it's also in Luke. He says, then he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it empty, swept, and put in order. So they clean it out. But watch. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter and dwell there. And the last state of the man is worse than the first. So shall it also be with this wicked generation. This is what's going to happen in this last generation. If it's dealt with and put out, it must be refilled with the Holy Spirit, with friends, with teaching, surrounding ourselves with the right people, and with a community of people that will help them with the word. And that's what Janet got. Janet got a people, a family. She'd never seen a healthy family, and they made her a part of it, made her a part of their structure. Y'all see the difference right there? Okay, all right. Okay, let's go. Now, let's look at the instances that are in the Bible. If you just go to your concordance, your computer concordance, and type in unclean spirit, it's got a list everywhere it's in the Bible. Where you're going to mostly find it is in Leviticus. Of course, Leviticus, you're going to see it right there, unclean, unclean, unclean. If you just pull up unclean, but if you pull up unclean, you're going to list, it'll list for you everywhere it's written. Look at all of them. I didn't pull up all of them. I just pulled up the instances where Jesus specifically dealt with the situation so we could look at it and examine it. That's what we do. We want to understand how did Jesus deal with this, all right? All right, Mark chapter 7. Mark chapter 7, verse 24 through 30. Here's the first one. Watch this. From there he arose and went to the region of Tyre and Sidon, and he entered a house and wanted no one to know it. Mm-hmm, Jesus. But he could not be hidden. He went to somebody's house and didn't want anybody to know it. God, get this, y'all. Look what he's going to do with. For a woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Now, if you look up this term, young daughter right there, and it's the same with the little boy. There's another instance. These two instances he dealt with were kids. When you look it up in the Greek, it means someone, a child of around 5 years old, a small child. This spirit is coming after our kids at a young age. I don't know about you, but I can't really remember anything prior to 5 years old. I remember elementary school. I remember kindergarten. I remember my teacher, primarily because we got pictures. But, I just remember, I can still see the classroom in my mind. I remember one girl named Tammy Googsby because she used the bathroom in the class one day. I'll never forget that. We was all like... That's indelibly engraved on my mind. She had a stank spirit. Come on, somebody. Okay, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I shouldn't have said her name. Take that out the tape. It was all messed up. Like, hold up, Miss Paxton. Something's wrong. All right. But no, think about it. Can y'all remember stuff? My whole point is here that many say I was born this way. But if a spirit is telling you since age 5, you can't remember anything prior to that. Yeah. And people I've talked to, I'm born this way. No, you're not. You can't be born that way or God is a liar. Why? Because God wouldn't punish something, punish a behavior. God only, he punishes behavior, not, is God going to punish me for being black? And that's the problem with trying to hijack with sexuality, sexual behavior, with a civil rights issue. Every black person ought to be enraged about that. Black people pay too great of a price for homosexuals to get on board and say, hey, we were born this way. No, you weren't. That's behavior. Are y'all listening to me? Let's just state the facts. Let's understand this from the scriptural standpoint. Nobody's born a homosexual. All right? Now, you can be born confused in your mind and at a very young age and not remember anything different. Come on, somebody. For the woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit. Now, of course, back here, no one was born again. All right? So if you have the Holy Spirit, you can't be possessed with the Spirit, but you can be oppressed by one. In other words, the thoughts you think. Watch. You're going to watch. Watch this. For a woman whose daughter had an unclean spirit heard about Jesus, and she came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, Syrophoenician woman by birth, right? Syrophoenician. And she kept asking him to cast the demon out of her daughter. Can you imagine the desperation here? Just like that movie star whose child said, hey, I think I'm a girl and he's a boy. Starts acting weird and all this kind of stuff. And this woman is like, hold up, this is not right. You got a problem. This is a devil. Well, today's culture, well, let's just let them go with it. And then they end up all crazy, right? But watch this, because she's Greek, she's a Gentile and not a Jew, that's why Jesus gave this response. But Jesus said to her, let the children be filled first, for it is not good, children being the Jews, to take the children's bread of healing and deliverance and throw it to the little dogs. All right? Had she been alive in today's culture, had been to a church and that happened to her, she would have been on Oprah the next day and said, you know, that stinky old nasty church, they, you know, and that wasn't the case. Jesus was a dispensation. He came for the Jews, all right? Thank God she didn't get offended at that. Thank God she didn't get offended at that. Believers get messed up because they're so easily offended. Paul came here and preached. He'd emptied his church out. She answered, and any church. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs under the table, you can call me a dog if I want to, but listen here, I need what I need. Under the table, eat from the children's crumbs. Next. Then he said to her, for this saying, go your way, the demon has gone out of your daughter. And when she had come to her house, she found the demon gone out and her daughter lying on the bed. There's, what I want you to do is begin to just add up some of the things. Let's look at this next one. Lying on the bed. So she was restless. All right, she was asleep now. She could rest. Watch this. All right? Go to the next one. Go to Luke chapter 9, and we'll read verse 37 through 42. This is why I'm telling parents, this is not something to play with. This, we have to be vigilant with our kids, little kids. Little kids. And this is why the devil wants to get this into this system. Educational system, to our governmental system. Make it a threat to silence the truth. That's what it is. All right? Here we are, Luke chapter 9. Are y'all looking? Now it happened on the next day when they, the disciples and Jesus, had come down from the mountain that a great multitude met Jesus, right? Suddenly a man from the multitude cried out, saying, teacher, I implore you, look on my son, for he is my only child. There's that word again. This is a little child. And behold, a spirit seizes him. Look at the characteristics. And he suddenly cries out. It convulses him so that he foams at the mouth. It gives him seizures, right? And it departs from him with great difficulty, bruising him. He's trying to hurt him, right? So I implored your disciples, if you read in the other account, it says sometimes cast him in the water, sometimes cast him in the fire. This is one of the characteristics of that unclean spirit. It tries to hurt the person. Watch this. So I implored your disciples to cast it out, but they could not. Then Jesus said, oh, that's all right, never mind. No, he didn't. He almost Christian cussed out his Bible school students. Oh, faithless and perverse generation. Who is he talking to? Oh, how long shall I be with you and bear with you? Who is he talking to? The disciples. He's talking to the people that should be dealing with this and couldn't. And he didn't say, oh, that's all right, let's just love him. He fussed at the believer and said, what's wrong with y'all? I would hate for Jesus to show up at church and say, you perverse and faithless people. Do y'all get why we have to talk about, why we have to do this? This isn't, I'm reading the Bible. How long will I be with you? He says, I'm not going to be here with y'all. I'm going to send you the Holy Spirit, and you're going to have to deal with this. What many churches have said, we can't deal with it, let's just embrace it. That's not what we're supposed to do. Then Jesus, and not just homosexual and lesbianism, I mean any of the sexual impurity or immorality. We can't deal with that. It stops the flow of God. How long shall I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here. Read on. As he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Then Jesus rebuked the
unclean spirit,
healed the child, and gave him back to his father. Again, it's good to read it in the other account. And now watch this, because Jesus had, if you read it in the other account, it says that Jesus had rebuked him. Then the devil started convulsing the kid, right? And the devil starts talking to Jesus. Watch this. And as he was still coming, the demon threw him down and convulsed him. Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the child, and gave him back to the father. Watch this. Is that the last one? All right. Look at that. Somebody pull it up. I can look in my Bible right here. Let me read it to you in the other account. I didn't do it in the first service, but let me look. Luke 9. Let me see. It's in Matthew, and there's one that's a little better, that shows some more detail. Matthew 9. Look at Mark 9. Yeah, Mark 9, same account. Matthew, Mark, and then Matthew 17. Somebody remember that. Mark 9. Mark 9 and verse 14. Y'all there? If y'all can put it up there for me. If you can. Oh, yeah, make some noise for him in the back. And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude around them and scribes disputing them. Immediately when they saw him, all the people were greatly amazed and running to him. And he asked the scribes, what are you discussing with them? Then, verse 17, then one of the crowd answered and said, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit, and wherever it seizes him. Now watch. In the other account, we saw that it's an unclean spirit, but it caused the boy to be mute. Watch this. Seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not. He answered and said, Oh, faithless generation, how long will I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately his spirit convulsed him. When the boy and the demon sees Jesus, immediately the demon convulses him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. So he asked his father, right? He asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, from childhood. He's already little, so even before now, right? Long as he can remember, as a child. And often he's thrown himself both into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and enter him no more. Then the spirit cried out and come both. Jesus told him to get out, and the spirit is still not coming out. What does this tell you? This is a bad thing, right? And he came as one of the dead, so that many said, he's dead. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he rose. And when he had come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast it out? He said, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting, all right? Look over in Matthew. Let's look at Matthew real quickly. Matthew 17. You all right? How's my time? 16. Yeah, I got time. Matthew 17. Look at verse 14. Yeah. And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's an epileptic. All right, so we can see that this unclean spirit has impact on the body too. He's deaf and he's epileptic, but Jesus said he casts out the unclean spirit. All right, so it's affecting him physically. He suffers severely, and he often falls in the fire and often in the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Jesus said to him, O faithless and perverse generation, how long will I be with you? How long will I bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon and came out of him. The child was cured that very hour. Disciples said, why couldn't we do it, et cetera, et cetera. All right, so y'all see that example there. Again, I want you to see that it was a little boy and a little girl, the accounts that we have, all right? Now, let's look at this other one. This is the third account in the Bible. Mark chapter 1, third account that you see Jesus deal with. Other places it says he casts out the unclean spirits. Watch this one. Look at what this one says. Mark chapter 1, you there? Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. Where is he at? Church! And they were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit. Where is this unclean spirit? Welcome at church! Do y'all get the significance of this? There was a man in their synagogue. And he cried out. This is also the only spirit you'll see crying out are these. Only unclean spirits. You don't see a spirit of infirmity yelling and start, watch this, saying, let us alone. Good God. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? This is a spirit talking back to Jesus. What spirit is this? This is that unclean spirit. This is a spirit of rebellion that shows up in people. Now, if they're born again, probably not possessed with it, but definitely oppressed. This is Jesus. Right? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. But Jesus rebuked him, saying, be quiet. Come on, do y'all see this? Rebuked him, saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the unclean spirit had convulsed, the unclean spirit is still not coming out. What did he do? Convulsed him. It's very stubborn, very rebellious, and outspoken, loud. I'm going to say what I want to say, who I want to say it to. God, see the characteristics. You're going to see it greatly here in this last example. And when the unclean spirit came out and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. Then they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, what is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits. Oh, listen to the people recognize this spirit. The people go, he's even able to cast out unclean homosexual spirits. Did y'all see that, the narrative here? With authority he commands the unclean spirits. And they obey him. Say, they must obey me too. That's exactly right. Let's go to the last example and we're going home. This is the most famous demoniac in the Bible. Look at what spirit it is and look at the characteristics. Y'all ready? Here we're closing. Mark chapter 5. Again, you can see this in all the Gospels as well, except for John. Then they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gadarenes, right, Gadara. And when he had come out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an... Come on, somebody. This man is bound up in homosexuality, sexual sins. He's bound up. And look, watch now. All these accounts are really important because there's so many characteristics here. Somebody find the other account of this for me, too, if you would. Oh, I got it right here. Mark 5. It is in, let me just tell y'all so you know. Oh, in Matthew 8 and Luke 8. Matthew 8 and Luke 8. Just remember, because we want to extract everything from here real quickly. Who had his dwelling among the tombs? This guy left his home and went out living among the dead. Notice the characteristic. Get away from family, get away from influence, and living among the dead like him. Watch this. These characteristics are so true. Watch this. And no one could bind him, not even with chains. He was out of control. Won't listen to nobody, he's out of control. Because he had often been bound with shackles and chains, and the chains had been pulled apart by him. He had supernatural strength out there, demonic strength, and shackles broken in pieces. This dude is unruly. This rebellious demonic spirit is unruly, and they couldn't do anything with it. Good God. Neither could anyone tame him. And occasionally, always, night and day. This guy isn't sleeping. He's restless. He was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out, screaming, cutting himself. Here's this self-mutilation, this self-pain again. Now watch. This is a spirit that tries to kill him, tries to throw the boy in the fire. Drugs, alcoholism, overeating, all this stuff is pushed by this spirit. If you're not possessed by it, it's motivating this. Look at this, y'all. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying out and cutting himself with stones. Next. And when I love this verse. And when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and worshiped him. This is so beautiful here. When you really see who Jesus is, it doesn't matter what kind of bondage you're in. When you really see who he is, it causes you to worship him. That's why we got to present the real Jesus. Not a fake religious Jesus, but the real deal. Come on, somebody. And that's why you got to get your stuff cleaned up so the people can see the real Jesus. Yeah. And Jesus can live through the real Jesus can live through you. Right. Come on, somebody. Yeah. And he cried out with a loud voice and said, here's, what do they do? Talk back. Look at this devil. What am I to do with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Listen to this line. I implore you by God that you do not torment me. Listen to me. You can't do nothing to me. Don't do anything to me. Don't torment me. This is a devil talking to Jesus. You think this devil has any respect for you and me? None. Mm-hmm. And he said, look why the devil's saying that to Jesus. For Jesus said to him, come out of the man, unclean spirit. Why was the devil saying that to Jesus? Because Jesus told him to come out of him. Then he asked him, look, Jesus told the devil to come out of him, and that he's still in there. So Jesus says, what's your name? Who are you? What is your name? And he answered, saying, my name is Legion, for we are many. Do y'all know what Legion means? It's a military term, a Roman military term, a legion. Like we have a battalion. Legion is a group of 3 to 6,000 men. 6,000 men. If you look it up in the Greek concordance, it gives you a specific number. It's a company of 6,000 men, foot soldiers. He said, we're many. But do you remember what we read in Matthew? One goes, he comes back, he brings seven more. Just keeps bringing more. Keeps bringing more. That's why it gets worse and worse and worse unless somebody intervenes. We're the ones to intervene. Come on, somebody. How many of y'all learning already? Let's move on. Watch this. He also begged him earnestly that he would not send them out of the country. Are y'all ready for revelation today? Are y'all ready? This passage has bothered me for years. Bothered me for years. Watch this. Now a large herd of swine was feeding near the mountains. Did this ever bother anybody? Like, why did Jesus allow this to happen? You're about to find out. Watch this. So all the demons begged him, all how many? 6,000, saying, send us to the swine that we may enter them, begged Jesus. And at once Jesus gave them permission. Just stick with me. At once Jesus gave them permission, then the unclean spirit, circle that in your Bible so you're not confused about who this is. Went out and entered the swine. There were about 2,000 swine. How many demons? How many pigs? 2,000. So that means about 3 demons per pig. 3 of these demons in 1 pig, and the pig goes. Now, by the way, let's understand who the pig is. Understand who the pig is to the Jews. The most vile, the most nasty. Why does the Bible say don't eat pork? I'll tell you why. Because pigs, in the same slop that they eat, not just wallow, they defecate, urinate, and it's just a cycle. In fact, I just watched a 48, I can't remember if it's 48 hours or next 48, but these people, did y'all see this one? Listen, this was just on a couple weeks ago. I just watched this. I love that show, like 48 hours and the next 48. Well, there was this dude, young dude, and it was next 48. It was the next 48. Well, anyway, they're interviewing him. These drug dealer had tried to shoot him because they thought he had shot somebody else. He didn't. So anyway, these people captured him. His family and a woman was involved. They captured him, took him to their house, taped him up, put him in the bathtub. Did y'all see this? Y'all watch the next 48? It shows off the chain. They put him in the bathtub, filled it with ice, and started torturing him. Torturing him. The guy's screaming, and his mother's wondering where he is. And he's a drug addict, so, you know, he was just messed up. But anyway, they put him in the bathtub. Well, then, anyway, they ended up killing him, took him to a pigsty, took him way out in the middle of nowhere, took him to some pigs, and the pigs ate him. And the cops ended up going there because they heard this farmer called and said, you know, I saw these people, and this dude who used to live out here, I saw these people carrying him, and they threw him out here by these pigs. Cops went out there and they said, you know, and they're showing it on Next 48. They're like, oh my God, these pigs are eating everything. And they showed the camera on it. It was plastic containers. It was clothes. These pigs would just eat anything that was in front of them. I mean, you put this down there, they'll, if they could chew it, they'd eat it. They ate the guy. On next 48, I mean, there's, sorry, y'all. I'm trying to make my point. Am I making my point how gross pigs are? Watch. Watch this. And once Jesus gave them permission, and they went into these pigs, right? The unclean spirits went out and went and entered the swine, about 2,000, and the herd ran violently down the steep place into the sea and drowned in the sea. One pig couldn't handle three of these demons. One man had 6,000 of them. Pigs had, the nastiest animal on the face of the earth had more sense than this dude. Is my point. So those who fed the swine fled. Watch this. I got to explain one more thing. We're going home. They towed it to the city. They towed it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that had happened. I just want y'all to see how vile this spirit is behind this spirit of homosexuality and lesbianism and sexual immorality. You're not. This is not some Easter Bunny or Santa Claus. This is something that wants to destroy your life. All right. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed. What was he doing? And had the legion sitting and clothed. Well, now he's clothed. What does that tell you? He was walking around by day again. Another characteristic, and if you read any all the other accounts, we don't have time, you'll see it. It one of the other characteristics is wanting to show your body. This is the spirit behind our fashion industry today. Come on, do y'all ever look at old stuff? Yeah. Old movies, like you look back at your grandparents' pictures, and dad always, grandpa, great-grandpa wore a suit and a hat. Mama wore a dress down to the ground. Come on, somebody. You couldn't pay somebody to get on YouTube and make a butt-naked picture of themselves. You don't have to pay people today. They'll do it for free to get likes. Crazy! What's the spirit behind that? Oh, it's quiet in this Presbyterian church, y'all right? I was like, oh, snap, we ain't supposed to do that? No! Oh, my God. Paul, please come to my church. Then they came to Jesus and saw the one who had been demon-possessed sitting and clothed and in his right mind. Come on, somebody. And they were afraid. Watch this. And those who saw it told them how it happened to him, who had been demon-possessed and about the swine. And they began to plead with Jesus to depart from their region. They said, Jesus, you got to get up out of here. Why? Why did they want Jesus to leave? Because he affected their economy. Their pigs are dead now. When you rebuke this spirit, it will cost the community their money. They don't like it. Close your Bible. And that's what Revelation 18 said. It's going to get in the economy, and that's what Jesus is showing us. These people, they weren't happy. They was mad because now these spirits leaving the people getting into these pigs, we make money off these pigs. Get your seed, get your tithe. Now listen, I need some help helping these kids, so get some money in your hand and sow some seed. Stop playing. Come on, y'all. We've got to minister to our kids. And I hope you love your kids enough to pay attention to what I'm saying. And if you've missed any of these services, go back and see it. Yes. This is, how many of y'all realize how serious this issue is? You're realizing it more and more. The devil hates your little children. And he's not going to wait till they're 18 or 21 to expose them to all types of lewdness, to all types of uncleanness. Are you listening to me? They will find out about it from one of their little friends at school. Somebody on their parent's phone or their phone, one of these little kids. Come on, pornography is free now. Like when I was growing up, you had to go to a little store that was black with a lion on it. Or something like that. You know what I'm talking about? Not anymore. They send it to you free. Do y'all get the spirit behind this? It's quite as Presbyterian. Now, y'all, we've got to get to the place where we can talk about this openly, or because the devil hides in the dark places. Amen. Get your seed, get your tithe, get your offering. How many of y'all learned tonight? Good God, Jesus. Come on, come on. Y'all got to know. Is anybody excited about that as me? I mean, that is such revelation. Y'all, does that connect some dots? It connects some dots, and you can see the spirit behind what's going on in our world. Keep coming back, because I got more. Come on. Y'all got your seed? Get your seed. Get your tithe. Stand up on your feet. Let's get ready to go, y'all. I got to call my baby. Praise the Lord. Oh, my God, I can't wait for Sunday. Isn't that good? Throw your hands up for a second. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Father. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Speak to our hearts, Lord. You do it. We don't want to, we can't make anybody do anything. We just present the truth and so people can see you and see how much you really love them, that you really are good, that you really do have a life for us, a great life for us, a great life in store for us, a great marriage in store for us. And we no longer will settle for just for living like the world, adapting the ways of the world. Help us in our thinking. Help us with this word. Help us to understand it so we can live the great life, the great marriage, the great future, the great blessing that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's make this faith confession. Y'all ready? Y'all got your seed? Say this real loud and strong. Ready? Say it. I